How dare you?
Here, Kurt, chime in too. This will be a threefer.
Ready?
Ooh, threefers.
Threefer.
Three.
Two. One.
This week on Barbell Shrugged, we talk about strictly pull-ups. Why you might stink at pull-ups.
Prerequisites for pull-ups.
Static holds.
Yes, that's right, Kurt. We talk about static grip and eccentric strength.
The necessary mobility.
And maybe should you even lose some weight to get a pull-up?
Probably, maybe.
And to band, to band or not to band?
Word. That's it.
And horizontal pulling.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Hey, I see you sitting there, lonely by your keyboard. If you want to, just whip your fingers out, put them on your keys, type in http://www.barbellshrug.com. While you're there, swing on over, sign up for the newsletter. We'll send you some cool free stuff, and make sure to check out Overtime. It's a sweet place with a bunch of sweet stuff. And last but not least, I know you're trying to find a bitchin' t-shirt to get your mom for her birthday. Head on over to merch.barbellshrug.com.
Like Dumb and Dumber.
You guys like hearing what it sounds like, the gag on mic?
Gross.
This is disgusting.
Oh. You're going to talk like your mom on this one?
Yeah. What is something my mom would say?
She wants to use bands, right?
Yeah.
I can't do one without the bands, Kurt.
Do it again. Two more.
Call it. Your brother's.
That's how my mom is, the same way. She swears by bands.
And your mom don't sound like that.
Well, she don't sound like that, but she got really upset. Well, she didn't get upset, but she was blaming the programming at Faction, the fact that her pull-ups went down. Because they were doing a lot of eccentric work and trying to do a lot of that stuff. She's like, well, my pull-ups went down. Maybe it's because you – in her case, she was just doing wads before she came in even to the gym, so right. She was already in a pre-fatigue state. So I think a lot of people – we should probably put that up there. Like, you may just be doing too much shit, and you're fatigued, and you're not recovered to do that. Yeah. So
word. All right. Hey. Well, with that said, welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm your host, Mike McGoldrick, here with Mike McElroy.
What's happening?
Curtis Mulliken.
Hey, what's up?
And and Alex Macklin.
What's up? Yo.
Yeah. So today, a very exciting topic. Man, there's so many cool things. I don't even know how we're going to fit all this in one short episode. But either way, I'm excited to finally announce that it comes to bring up to us that 83% of the world is terrible at pull-ups.
Terrible.
Terrible. Terrible. I really
is
have
that
no
a real statistic?
I have no idea. No. But in a nutshell, probably a lot of people are not very good at pull-ups. So today we're going to talk all about how to get better at them, how to figure out exactly where you're at with them, and then how to, you know, build a good strength program so you can do more of them.
Some common misconceptions, too, about getting a first pull-up or a pull-up in terms of, like, what you should do for training.
Yep. What are those misconceptions?
Well, bands.
Yeah.
I mean, for one. Now I'm on the spot. Yeah.
So our bands are good?
I think a huge misconception is that I just got to keep jumping up, doing some pull-ups, kipping on the bands or whatever, like during the Metcons, and I will eventually get better at pull-ups.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I think the thing is to understand is that there's a difference between like actually training to get better at pull-ups and then just playing to do pull-ups. Like if you're in a workout that has Cindy, for example, and you're doing pull-ups on a band, I can't really necessarily say that that's going to make you stronger doing pull-ups. However, it's allowing you to like just do the workout,
get in the
and
game,
play. So, with that said, if you're someone who's tired of doing that and wants to do more workouts RX with pull-ups, this is the episode because we're going to go really deep into some of the programming, give you examples, and then talk about exactly how to lay out a good strength plan to actually start improving in that.
Yeah, I think when looking at this too, we're not just talking about people who maybe don't have a strict pull-up, but for the most part, from what I've seen, people in CrossFit or fitness in general have lacking strict upper body pulling strength. So they may be able to do kipping pull-ups, maybe able to do 20 or so or more kipping pull-ups, but their relative strict pull-ups is not very good. So whether you can do pull-ups or not, this we're going to talk about a lot of stuff in here that can help you with other stuff.
Now, why is it necessarily important? I mean, if you're able to do a bunch of kipping pull-ups in CrossFit, I mean, Metcons, Fran is like 21:59 pull-ups. Why do we even need to have a strict one?
Yes. Bro, come on. Safety first. No, for real, though.
Yeah, yeah, for, real.
Yeah for real. It's for longevity, safety, right? Yeah. So a lot of people do have the kipping, you know, gymnastics ability to sometimes get their chin over the bar, but they don't really have the strength to support themselves coming back down. So when you're obviously, when you're up above the bar, when you come back down, you've got a lot of momentum that puts stresses on the shoulders, and we want to be able to avoid that so you don't do any damage to yourself. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it could if you don't have the support and the balance to, you know, to help yourself control on the way down.
Yeah, it's just longevity in the sport too, or longevity doing workouts. You know, it doesn't have to be the sport, but just doing it in general, the stronger you are in those, and the stronger your tendons are and the stronger your joints are, the longer they're going to last doing those kipping and dynamic things. I have a lot of people that can do, or used to change, kind of change the process, but who could do a bunch of kipping pull-ups, but no strict pull-ups. And not only is it going to directly correlate with pull-ups, but it relates to other things. Like you were talking about snatching earlier, learn to snatch, that helped you learn to do pull-ups. It goes the other way around, too. If you're stronger at your pull-up, you're going to be able to hold the bar in closer.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not just about the pull-up. Mm-hmm. It's about being stronger for everything.
I think the problem is that there's not a world championship of tendon strength.
There should be.
There should be.
So what? How strong is strong enough before you start kipping, I guess? And the biggest misconception, again, is like that kipping is dangerous, but if you have good coach or good programming, if you're a smart athlete, like you're going to have some kind of a baseline set before you start doing that. So what are some numbers generally that you would want to test?
Yeah, I mean, I like to have somebody do a strict pull-up before they start kipping.
Just one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, at least before they start. Now, if they have mobility issues or if they have maybe different limitations, then we may go a little bit deeper, but all things good. Mm-hmm. Mobility is good. Their positions are good when they're doing kipping pull-ups or whatever. As long as they can do one, they can at least get started. Now, we're always going to be continually working on mm-hmm. that strict and strength. But as long as they have one, I usually can let them go four. But before that, we don't let them do kipping pull-ups anymore.
Gotcha. So what do they do during a workout?
So for strength work, we will mostly do eccentric pull-ups mm-hmm. or just static holds, either with chin over the bar. So with our pull-up program that we have in the overtime, that program starts the whole first meso is all static work. So static work is isometric work, so you're not moving at all. So you're just either holding chin over the bar or just holding at the bottom position, but holding these different positions and getting strong in those positions, and then building into eccentric strength, which is where we're lowering down through the range of motion. So you can lower more weight than you can raise, basically. So being able to control yourself, you know, getting a box put under you or your clamps on the rig or something and control yourself down from in that pull-up, you'll be able to do that with even added weight before you'll be able to do your strict pull-up.
So is there like an order? So you do, let's say you don't have a strict pull-up and you want to get better at it, like what's the first step? Do you work on the static isometric holding that you were saying? And then let's say you're at this point where you're like holding for a minute now. Mm-hmm. Do you do loaded isometric holds?
Yep.
You're experimenting with that?
Yeah, so we do in the gym, as far as the group class, now the program in overtime is kind of structured out, but with the group class where it's just kind of, you know, varied, everything's a little bit different, the strength session is different, we do both. So we just work on both depending on the day. So we'll do, like you said, adding weight to it. So you can hold a dumbbell between your legs or something and just hold heavier weight in that static position and do that eccentric, but we do both at the same mm-hmm. time. Also doing ring rows and things like that.
Yeah, so like what would be an example progression of like let's say, you know, I'm no pull-up having ass.
Right.
Like what do I – like how would you progress me from not getting a – not being strong enough to get a pull-up and then getting one or right. getting close to one?
Yeah. I mean, just keeping going on what we're talking about, we'd start with static holds as long as you can get that, and we would work eccentrics, adding weight to your eccentric, and test you.
So how long would I hold – like I do a static hold. Like
yeah, so usually I do like 3 to 5 sets of like 10 to 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. So I usually don't go past 20 seconds or so and try to add weight to that. So once you get to where you can hold it for 20 seconds, adding weight to it mm-hmm. and keep going. Same thing with the eccentric. I usually with the eccentric I go 5 to 10 seconds. Don't go out more. So lowering down for as mm-hmm. much as 10 seconds on the
yeah.
eccentric.
Once you have control there.
Once you have control there, add weight and keep right. going like that. Yeah, and just start testing.
So 20, I don't know if you've ever done it. Oh, sorry.
No, I said a 20-second isometric hold is a good starting point. That's when you know, like, all right, I'm probably ready to start loading this now. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever guys ever done, but a bunch of eccentric pull-ups will light you up, man. That will make you sore, more sore than anything.
Yeah, rookie mm-hmm. mistake, don't do that in a Metcon. I did that when I started. And the person came back the next day, they're like, I can't move my arms.
Yeah, yeah, don't. Yeah, that is not my something fault. You want to do
my bad.
For like, a bunch of, like,
that was
Cindy.
8 years ago, but I think it was Cindy. But anyway.
Yeah,
I don't do that anymore.
And you have some good questions, like exactly how much. And I think a lot of it depends, too, is like that starting point. So, again, if you're someone who is like very close to getting your first one versus someone who might be 50 pounds of pulling strength away, good. It could depend on body weight, like your actual relative strength. Mm-hmm. So that's something that you need to figure out, too. So we made a joke earlier. I was like, I have a 400-pound lat pull-down, but I weigh 405 pounds, and I can't do a strict pull-up. It's like, right, you know, so maybe change the ratio a little bit, too, is one option.
Yeah, I mean, losing weight is a huge factor. I mean, sometimes, I mean, people don't like to say that, but yeah. I mean, if you are a big person, that's all that weight that you actually have to pull yourself up over that bar. Mm-hmm. If you lose weight, but like fat, and your strength stays the same, well, now your relative strength has increased, and so you're more likely to be able to actually get above the bar.
Yeah, gotcha. And again, this could even go on the other end of the spectrum of higher level athletes. If you're a borderline regionals level athlete and you're on the bigger end of the spectrum, well, it may be worth you to lose a little bit of weight so that you're better at the gymnastic stuff than it is worth it for you to keep that weight on to move a barbell. I mean, I'm not pointing to anybody. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, McGee, how much do you weigh?
I weigh 210 pounds.
Yeah, but you can
how
knock
much do you
out
weigh when you were at the games?
190.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, so you're 20 pounds lighter.
I've gotten a lot stronger, but I was gymnastics were way easier.
Yeah.
Well, so gymnastics are harder now.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. It's not just for the person who can't do strict pull-ups. It's for all ends of the spectrum, and body weight may be something to consider regardless. As far as progressing towards the pull-up, using things that aren't just the pull-up, so pin lay rows, single arm bent rows, weighted movements too, carries, things we talked about like that, working on grip strength.
So
translates.
I think it's pretty common to know that like mobility is going to be an issue for kipping pull-ups. Mm-hmm. Do you see that as a huge issue for strict pull-ups?
I don't see it as much unless we're talking about like a chest bar.
Gotcha, like a strict chest bar.
So that end range of motion, yep, we're at the top trying
the
to
ability
get that
to
last
like
little
extend
bit
extend the shoulder back and yeah. Yeah, so I wanted to talk about that a little bit too. So I know it's mostly on strict pull-ups, but I like talking about mobility for kipping as well. So, you know, give me some like starting points or tests that you could say like that would be a good way to know like right away. All right, I probably shouldn't be doing any kipping yet, even though I can do strict pull-ups. I don't have the mobility yet to start kipping.
Yeah, so I mean, a couple of tests. If you can't hold a barbell overhead in a static position with your rib cage locked down, or if you do wall slides where your back's up against the wall, mm-hmm, forearms are up against the wall and sliding all the way up, which I can't do that either. But
right,
those are some things that, you know, when you're going into that forward position, you're either going to compensate with shoulder mobility. Maybe you've probably seen it before where people go forward on the kip and their elbow bends. Mm-hmm. That's them compensating to get some more range of motion instead of being able to go with a straight arm back. So that's usually where I start, is just watching the kip on the bar, just kipping back and forth and seeing what their arm, mm-hmm, and elbow does at the top. And obviously that would take a coach's eye looking at you doing that.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I'm going to ask you this. Like, so when you see that, we know it's like messed up and funky looking, but why is it bad necessarily? Just because it looks bad, do we know that it's really bad?
Yeah, because it's going into an internally rotated position as opposed to staying in that good, mm-hmm, externally rotated position. When we know anytime we're in this externally internally rotated position, then it's putting the shoulder at a compensated position, and it's eventually going to, you know, wear down some tissues.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, not supposed to be done.
That's how you hurt your shoulder. That's actually
right.
I mean, it's the same. It's analogous to if you caught a snatch and you started internally rotate and then walk forward. Because I've done that before, and my shoulder got fucked up.
Yeah. Same, yeah.
So it's the same exact thing.
Gotcha. So if I'm an athlete and I'm an athlete. I play one on TV.
You're a pretend.
Yeah, I play one on the internet. But say I'm an athlete. I've been going to the gym for a little while. And my coach just throws me on bands every time there is a Metcon with pull-ups. Like, what do I do, or what can I say to my coach or ask or get better at pull-ups in the Metcon environment? Let's say we don't have a lot of time to work on stuff.
Yeah, so what we do at my gym, we don't use bands at all for pull-ups. So,
oh, my goodness.
Slow clap. Sorry.
So
why?
As far as building strength towards the pull-up, the band helps you the most at the bottom position, which is when you're kind of the strongest, and it helps you the least at the top position. So
what are you saying? What are you trying to say about bands?
So if you've been on the red Rogue band for the last 2 years, then that's probably why.
How dare you?
So wait, explain that one more time.
So at the bottom position, the band is stretched out the most. It's under your feet or under your knees. It's going to help you the most when you're at that strongest position. Most people can at least get a little bit of movement here, and then once they get to here or here, they can't get past that. So
they get stuck
the top,
in the middle.
Yeah, they get stuck in the middle, and the band's helping you. If it's under your knee, it's hardly even helping you when you're at this 90-degree point. So at that point, when you need the most assistance, it's not helping you at all, which is why we like the eccentrics better, or even partner-assisted where you're holding your feet or somebody's putting their feet behind you. Mm-hmm. They're holding your feet.
I'm a big fan of that and pressing on the back as well. Yeah. If you're tall enough to support someone on their back, you can kind of push up and help them finish at the top.
And even you can put your feet on a box. So you're determining the how much you're giving. You're obviously trying to pull your arms as much as possible, your legs as little as possible. But as you get fatigued, you adjust that ratio.
I have to do that with chest to bar holds.
Yeah.
I'm really tight here. So doing like a strict chest to bar hold is almost impossible for me. And when I do that sometimes, I have to actually start with that. Yep. We do that a lot in the Get Your First Pull-Up program. We have a lot of the box set up with the feet behind you. And I feel it's the best if you don't have a partner, for sure.
So these would be things that you would do during a Metcon.
Strength work.
Oh, these are okay.
Yeah, so same thing we were talking about earlier with the eccentrics and not doing a ton of volume. The reason we don't want to do that, which we didn't explain that, the eccentric is where most of the muscle tissue is broken down, which causes the most damage, which makes you extremely sore. So if we do like 50 of those in a day, you're going to come back that day without your elbows being able to extend. So when a Metcon comes up, we just change the movement completely to either ring rows or inverted bar rows or something like that they can do higher volume of.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we just separate it out to where, like, if you're doing – this is what we do for strength work. This is what we do for conditioning. Because, again, the point of the conditioning is not to get stronger at pull-ups. The point of conditioning is conditioning. Mm-hmm. So we just change the movement to ring rows or bar rows. And strength work is strength work.
Yeah, gotcha. I love bar rows, man. Bar rows,
they're terrible.
If you do them right, them. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Hard. If you don't have a set of rings, then that's what you got. But I love them. There's nothing that gets your lats sore. It's just doing some bar rows, and you can weight yourself too. Like, I love them, man. They're like one of the best exercises that don't see a lot of people doing.
You get excited.
That horizontal pulling strength that we're talking about is a huge missing link in CrossFit.
Why is it so important to have horizontal pulling strength instead of just doing pull-ups all the time?
It just works it works all the muscles a little bit differently and keeps everything balanced with each other. We tend to have a major weakness in the lower
balance, right?
Turnaround.
Uh-oh.
Lower upper back. And so the rhomboids are pulling the shoulders down. If we just do vertical pulling, then it's going to balance.
Yeah.
One more time, big.
Let's spread. Well, one of the things that you said earlier, not I was completely shocked about, is like, okay, like let's have the scenario of a person who can do maybe 20 strict pull-ups, but they can't do a chest to bar.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense? But if they can't get that last little pull from that comes from the lats,
the lat and the rhomboids,
they can't get high enough to get that chest to bar pull-up.
So, and maybe I'm wrong, but I remember you telling me that you couldn't get a strict chest to bar for a long time.
It's very difficult for me to do that. Yeah. I can do almost 20 strict pull-ups, but it's very hard for me to do like a single chest to bar. I can get like way up there, and I can get like to here, but this actually touching, it's very tough for me.
So it's just a different movement. It's a different strength that debatably needs to be worked. I mean, it's all up for what your goals are and stuff like that.
Well, for me, specifically, it's going to be an issue because I want to be able to do more kipping chest to bar, right? So if I don't have the ability to, like, actively move here very easily, it's going to make it harder than kipping. Yeah. And it does.
Is that more of a mobility thing, or is that more of a strength?
I think it's a little bit of both. Like, I have some pretty tight shoulders, and I'm not super strong retracting.
Right. So what's the best way to work on that?
Tell me. I like doing things like hinging ring rows, barbell rows like you guys had, isometric holds. I think it's a really good way to get stronger at it. Yep. Varying the grips, too, is super important. And this doesn't mean just with this horizontal pulling. It means with all of this. So the thing about strength training your upper body is that you can do a lot of it, but it needs a lot of variance. Mm-hmm. You need to change things up a lot because you will start to see like a lot of plateaus if you're just doing pronated grip, meaning pronated, meaning palms out, and then supinated, meaning palms towards you. Best way to remember that, I think Doug Larson showed me this, is a bowl of soup. All right, so everyone remember that now. So if you only have like those two grips, right, you don't really have a lot of variance. So doing things like having mixed grip, neutral grip, like the more you can change it up.
Wide grip.
Yeah, wide grip. I mean, close grip, like everything. Every time you do it, change it up, You know, keep it varied, and you will less likely hit those plateaus as often. Yep.
I really like for that missing when that strength at the end range of motion is missing. I like dumbbell rows and things like that where you can really get that good retraction and even kind of torso rotation to get that end range of motion. Because, again, if we're on the bar and we can't get that end range of motion, then it's going to be hard to develop that strength because we can't get there. Mm-hmm. So if we do dumbbells, we can get that end range of motion and develop that strength in those positions.
But you probably have to keep it light enough so that you can get to that full range of motion. Because I see some folks doing the dumbbell rows. They're just like this. Yeah. You know, they're trying to load it up.
Good retraction.
You're trying to be macho and do a dumbbell row with 80 pounds.
starting a lawnmower.
Right. So, yeah, it's got to be light enough so you can actually get to that full range.
Well, speaking of dumbbells, is there room for something maybe like bicep curls?
Yes.
Oh, how dare you?
Gasp.
How dare you?
Essentially, with this episode, we take the bands off and start doing curls.
Wait, what? Oh, it was a joke.
No. But it's serious. So curls, especially, I mean, grip strength that plays a factor, bicep strength plays a factor. So there's definitely room for curls. There's curls in the strict pull-up program.
Well, you know, in a lot of gyms that don't have a lot of equipment, there's not a lot of options, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you need, like, more bicep strength, like, you only have so many options with bars and pulling and dumbbells, and especially if you don't have a lot of dumbbells to do, like, heavy rows, like, you need to get the biceps stronger somehow, and just doing isometrics all the time might not just do it. So
That's mostly focused on the back, too.
You know, I wish gyms, like, as many people need help with doing pull-ups in gyms, those Gravitron machines, those things are great.
Yeah.
It's a full range of motion that has the same resistance all the way through instead of, like, it's like basically a banded pull-up, but it's consistent, right? Yeah. I'm a big fan of those, and it's like you can knock off, like, only 5 pounds on that. So those are really great, but not every gym
just like
have
any
that.
Other strength movement. Yeah, I mean, hardly any CrossFit gyms that have that.
To strengthen, I mean, you can still change the grip. I mean, if you do supinated, supinated pull, supinated holds, or supinated barbell rows, I do those in my programming, and I mean, you'll get a good work on the biceps
pump,
in front of the arms.
You catch a pump. Yeah,
yeah, supinated. It's the same thing as a bent over row. You just have the underhand grip and. Yeah. You pull into, and really that helps work that little last range bit of motion too.
Do you find that one grip is important to train as much as another? So do you feel like there needs to be a balance between pronated pulling, like pull-ups versus supinated? Is there any benefit to doing more than one or the other?
No, I mean, I think with what we mostly deal with, I mean, pronated is the thing that has to be the strongest relatively because that's how you're going to do kipping pull-ups. So if you only get strong in supinated grip and then all your kipping are pronated, then it's just going to be a little bit different. So keeping it similar, so you're trying to strengthen a big piece of why you're strengthening the strict pull-up is to have more longevity and durability during kipping pull-ups. So training that same grip is important.
Gotcha. Yeah, I like being creative with it too, doing a lot of things with ropes as well. Get off the bar. Yeah, like if you need a good combination of supinated pulling and good grip strength, like get on a rope and climb up with your legs and then do slow eccentrics lowering down.
Nice.
That's really good strength work as
well. Towel pulls?
So that kind
towel pull-ups.
That kind of brings up a different reason we talk about dumbbells, rope climbs, and single arm strength. So if we're only doing strict pull-ups or only doing eccentrics, then we may have somewhat of an imbalance there. So like uneven ring pull-ups or towel pull-ups where you shift the towel where you're doing pull-ups like that, and then dumbbells, things like that, making sure side to side we're balanced and you're not just doing all your pulling on one side.
Yeah.
Same reason we do single leg work instead of just squatting.
Yeah. Right.
Well, going back to the grip thing, I know you said that – well, I think it was McElroy, I think you said that like grip – strength is not really a factor in just doing strict, but I don't know. I kind of feel that you still should work getting a strong grip because
it definitely is.
Yeah. I mean, in workouts you are going to kip. Mm-hmm. So I think having a very very strong grip is important still. So I like to do a lot of what has helped me is to do a lot of heavy farmer's carries. I did Fran the other day, and people asked me, well, did your grip blow up? And I'm like, nah, my grip is fine because I sit there and carry heavy farmer carries walks all the time.
Yeah.
And so my grip is very strong, and it doesn't bother me.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. Like, I have a very powerful grip, but the endurance is a different thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I can I think we were messing around in the garage a few weeks ago.
Oh, dude, that thing
we
is
have,
awesome.
We have cannonballs,
yeah.
Which are basically like those little steel balls with a hook on them. We'll have to show some of that footage. But
yeah.
we were doing 100 max deadlifts with it, and like it's like a pinch grip, so you don't really like squeeze around like this. You actually like just grab it like this, like you're grabbing like a door handle in a funky way.
Yeah.
And we were seeing who could like pick up the most, and like I could pick up, I don't remember how much, like over 100 pounds.
It was ridiculous.
Over 100 pounds. I could do a pull-up.
More than anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I won. No. That's kind of the point, but it's not the point. No, the point is that like I'm plenty powerful there with that, but when it comes to like high volume sessions with like pull-ups, toes to bar, things like that, my grip blows up really fast. Mm-hmm. So the endurance is a little bit different. And training those, I think, is a little bit different.
That's true. Yeah. So how would you train, I guess, endurance for grip?
Well, I think – or let me say a power first. So like heavy deadlifts, heavy pulls, things like that, where it's just like an abrupt, like you just need like, you only need it for like a quick couple of seconds, right? Mm-hmm. But the endurance, yeah, I mean, just more volume with it. I'm going blank on like creative ways.
I feel like it's fairly specific to the pull-up bar. So
yeah.
Maybe you do strict pull-ups into a static hang, mm-hmm. where you're just hanging on there. Because I feel like there's some people who, and some of it depends on the size of the kettlebell, I mean, or the farmer's handles. But grip strength is relative to the position. So if mm-hmm. you may be strong in the farmer's carry position, but you may not be strong in the overhead position, which may be a shoulder dysfunction, but mm-hmm. that's different.
Well, why is it so different? Yeah.
I mean, it could be a bunch of different things, but that's why I think that if you notice that your grip gives out on toes to bar and pull-ups, then you need to train it in that area. So do strict pull-ups or even kipping pull-ups, and then when you're finished with that set, hang on the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to hang on the bar so you're in that same position, training that grip strength in that same position.
Yeah, I like things that pre-fatigue it as well, like maybe doing some deadlifts going into the pull-ups, because that's kind of stuff that really blows me up. So like something really heavy, high-powerful.
Kettlebell swings for endurance. Kettlebell swings in the pull-ups.
Yeah, kettlebell swings blow up my grip more than anything.
Yep, me too.
Go do like a max set and see how your forearms feel after that.
Me too.
Yeah. Would you hang like straight arm hang after you do the pull-ups?
Yep. Mm.
Like how long would you
– Max hang.
Max
so
hang.
So, like, yeah, it's a failure because you're not going to hurt anything at that point.
So would it be like an inactive hang or an active hang?
I think that would depend on the person. So if there's mobility issues, it would be a passive hang where they're getting stretched. And if strength is an issue in the shoulders, then it would be an active hang where you're staying in that engaged position. So it depends on the person. But, yeah, it would be a set amount of pull-ups. And that could be strength work or endurance work. So it could be kipping or strength work with weight, and then finish with hanging there max hold, and then rest a little bit, do whatever you're doing, and do the same thing again.
Let's talk about what this might look like in a week. So we talked about a bunch of different ways, like variance, grip variance, where to start in terms of isometric holds, eccentric loading, and then concentric. How often should you do this to see results, and like how hard should it be?
Yeah.
Like, how difficult should it be?
I think one of the things, and you said it earlier, is variance is important in upper body strength training, more so than lower body strength training. So whereas strength training with lower body, you can probably maybe get away with doing really heavy sessions maybe twice a week for squat or whatever. With this, I think it's the variance and the volume is a little bit more important. So some kind of upper body pulling, if it's a weakness, at least 3 days a week, I would say. We have our strict pull-up program is 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. So I would say at least 3 days a week that should be in there in some form.
Yeah.
And like I said, the variance is important. So you're not just doing heavy weighted pull up 3 days a week.
What about the intensity? So do you need to go to failure every day? Should it be like a heavy day, a light day, like you would with a squat? In my experience, it's always been go to failure because the upper body, like, again, that's why you can do more volume of it. Yeah. It's going to recover a lot faster. It's not as taxing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like keep it super intense. We're not saying, like we said earlier, like start with 100 eccentric pull-ups for time. you're going to be like, But, yeah, go to failure every day. That's super important.
Yeah. I wouldn't go to failure every day. I would treat it somewhat like a West Side style thing. But, like, have a day where you do really heavy work. So maybe that's the eccentric day. You're doing weighted eccentrics. Then have a more dynamic day where you're doing – you know, good reps, good quality reps, or a bunch of sets, or that could be a volume day where you're doing a bunch of volume on that. And then the third day could be like a horizontal pulling day. Mm-hmm. So you're working on that horizontal strength.
What would you do on that speed day? Like any particular any particular exercises?
It depends on where they are. Really fast bicep curls. No, I mean, it kind of depends on where they are, and that's why I say it could be a volume day too. So if they don't have strength, if they don't have a strict pull-up, then I probably wouldn't have that speed day in there. That would be more for somebody that does have pull-ups. So maybe it's somebody like him who needs to build volume and capacity. So it may be like 9 sets of 3 strict pull-ups on the minute, adding weight. But it's capital weight that he can do fast. So just like you would do with a bench press, 9 sets of 3 or something like that. If it's somebody that doesn't have a strict pull-up, then I would probably do more sets of ring rows or concentric pull-ups where you have assistance and you're assisting yourself up and down, doing that kind of thing. But if there's somebody that doesn't have pull-ups yet, I probably wouldn't do the speed day. I'd do more of volume.
Very nice. Cool. Let's talk about some of the takeaways. So first thing we need to do is figure out where exactly you are in it. Like, how far are you from getting that first pull-up? Are you maybe a few pounds of pulling strength away, or you need to lose 20 pounds? Like, just get a, run through an assessment, make sure mobility's good, figure out exactly how strong you are.
Well, hold up. Sorry.
Hold up.
How do you know how far off you are?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think you can know exactly, right, but what you can do is test things like an isometric hold.
Yeah.
Right? A good standard, we said, is making sure you can hold for like 20 seconds. Then you know you can progress. So if you can't hold for 20 seconds, maybe you need to start working a lot more of the isometric holds, more of the assistance work. Like, again, lots of variants, but that'll just give you an idea.
Right. Yep.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Perfect. Cool. So following that, now that you know where you are, you want to start training for it. Start with the isometric holds, going into eccentric strength training, loaded eccentric work, then the concentric. What am I missing?
I don't think you're missing anything in that.
Then
I think,
weighted concentric.
Yeah, I think the important thing to note is
that's
that
obviously
you're
when you get a pull-up.
Never too strong or too good for static work. Like you were doing that same day we were doing those carries, you were doing those static holds in that 90-90 position.
Yeah.
There's never a point where this is where you're strong enough to take out static work.
You know, especially for upper body pulling, when it comes to pressing, it seems like as a general pop, like we are all much better at pressing than we are at pulling. Yep. Like I feel like a lot more people can bench press well over, I don't know what a good percentage would be, but versus just getting a couple of strict pull-ups.
Yeah. Go ahead. Well, that's a great point you brought up I can't remember who brought that up, but you're never too good.
It was a great point. It's probably me.
You're never too good for static holds. I feel definitely people are like, well, I don't need to do that because I'm already a baller, you know? So
they're not sexy.
Yeah. Well, they're not. And they kind of, they hurt.
I hate them, man. They wear me out.
Fun. Yeah. They're not fun at all.
No. So, assessment, where to start, and then you've got the isometric holds, eccentric loading, concentric, lots of variants, super high intensity, a couple days a week, 2 or 3 days a week. What else? What else could we take away from this?
Carries, we talked about farmer's carries. Yeah, grip strength relates to it.
Cool. So lots of good ideas to get better at them. If you have absolutely no idea where to start, check out our pull-up program in overtime.barbellshrug.com. 3 days a week, pretty cool workouts. It's a lot of fun. Thanks for listening. Anything else you guys want to add?
Drop the bands.
Oh, yeah, drop the bands. Yeah.
Drop the bands.
Yeah. Bands only make her dance. Bands don't make you get a pull-up. So.
Is that what they say? Is that what
bands make her dance?
Bands make her dance.
Bands make her dance. That's Memphis. That's Juicy J.
Word. Thanks, guys.